Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bass University TV. I'm Pete Gluzek. This is Pat Renwick. And we have a very special guest with us, one of the greatest anglers ever to play this game, Mr. David Fritz.
David Fritz.
Wow.
What's up, Dave?
Thanks for joining us, Dave. Man, me and you go way back. You were hitting it out of the park before I got in. And I got in just in time to get my teeth kicked in over and over by Mr. Fritz cranking, sometimes Carolina rigging. And, you know, it's really cool. All that time has passed, and I'm honored, honestly, to be sitting here interviewing you for Bass University TV.
Well, you know, we've been around a long time, Pete. I remember a lot of these long time ago, back when we went around to colleges and schools and auditoriums or wherever and done these things every weekend. It's been going on forever.
It has. And now, of course, I remembered a memory that I think we've talked about it before, but we were at one of these university deals, and we went out to dinner one night, and you asked for the biggest lobster that they had in the tank. And it was as big as this table.
Yep.
Did you eat it?
Sure I did.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Gone.
Yeah.
Claws gone.
Yep.
The whole bit.
Yeah. I think what did it weigh? Almost 12 pounds.
12 pounds of lobster.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a Bass U record.
Yeah. Yep.
I love this stuff. I could sit and listen to David Fritz, Pete Gluzek stories all day. Honestly, I wonder if you guys could at home too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun, and we did these a long time, and now I've been doing these. Me and Mike have been putting these together. I can't believe it's been 10 years now that we've been running this program.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe it either. But you know, the older you get, the faster the years go.
It sure does.
Unfortunately.
Isn't it the truth? But that time went by. You spoke for us, and I appreciate that. And here you are with us today, and you're doing something that I think is really awesome. Is, man, you're battling out on the elites, and that's amazing. I mean, you're not in Rick's Klun's error, you know what I mean? But it's awesome to see guys that have so much success still out there battling and keeping these boys in check.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't. It might be the other way around. But, you know, when you've done this all your life, you don't really know much more to do. You know, fishing and promoting fishing it sort of becomes your life. So,
yeah.
It works out. I still love it. Still love to do it. Sometimes I wish we'd sort of go back to the old days with the flasher days. And, electronics made it easy for everybody.
How about spoon plugging while we're at it, Dave? Yeah. I mean, let's go way back.
Yeah, that'd be okay, too.
You were really dominant because you were able to use that flasher in the ways that guys are using their sonars today.
Yeah.
You figured that you became an expert in that arena before anybody.
Well, today's time, it's much easier. I mean, you got everything on a screen in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look and see where somebody is and look at your map, and you say, well, they're fishing this kind of stuff right here. So much easier, but much more competitive.
Right.
Yeah. Much more.
Well, I remember, and this was an interesting story, because I watched you on Bassmasters, and that's how I learned how to triangulate.
Yeah. We were watching him on old Bassmasters last night, actually. Yeah. I think it was one of the Texas lakes. Yeah. What it was. But anyway.
Well, I watched you talk about it. I thought I was out there triangulating, trying to match what you guys were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like getting a point over here and trying to line myself up. I'm like, how the hell does he get on these little corners?
Yeah.
And then I watched you talk about it where you got a small object in front of an object in the rear.
Yeah.
And that's how you triangulated with your depth.
Yeah.
And that was like blow my hair back. Yeah. You know, like, ah. Well, that was easy.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it, because most people will try to look there and then look there or look there and there. That don't work. You got to have something like this.
That's right.
I mean, and that puts you dead on. That's why you can hit a stump 300 yards out in the lake.
I agree completely, because I could never do it.
And we've watched David do it. We watched Rick Klun do it a million times on Pickwick. Yep. We've watched, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you said it like with cranking. You were the man. You figured it out before anybody figured it out. You taught Kevin how to do it. You taught the rest of us how to do it. And you did it on a bodies of water that I love, like Kerr Reservoir. Mm-hmm. Is one of my favorites. And you really cut your teeth down there and some of the other places down in North Carolina.
Yep.
You want everybody's money.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, back in the old days, it was fun because you had about probably less than 10% of the field that was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made it easy. You knew when you found that right bunch of fish, didn't matter whenever you got there, you was going to catch them. So you just sort of knocked around.
That's a great problem.
Because nobody else was going to find them.
Yeah, yeah. You knew it was going to take you about 10 minutes to catch 20, 25 pounds. So.
And then you ate that lobster.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, you certainly set the pace with it, and you taught us all how to crank. You've developed a lot of crankbaits. I still have a lot of those old Poes.
Mm-hmm. He's a scientist.
Kicking around. But no doubt about it. But what we wanted to talk to you about today is because you brought something up that, you know, did you know David cranks with braided line? And I hadn't heard anything about all this stuff. And I'm like, no, that's not. It's a lie because I know he uses mono. And
see, I'm winning the bet, David.
I know how he does it. I studied this thing for 20 years. But you got a new way of cranking.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I still crank and wind the same way. It's just some of my tools are a little bit different. Yep. But, yeah, it's I've been fishing braided line quite a bit. Actually, when I throw a crankbait, it's probably going to be on that. And the deal is you can feel your bait. I mean, that's the whole thing. And, plus, you really don't even have to jerk. You can just sort of turn your rod a little bit and the fish – You catch every fish it bites. It's amazing how much better it is. The problem is finding a braid that's good for you that you can cast. And that's the problem in all braid, is finding some braid that you're actually to get distance with. And that's always hurt braid, and it probably always will.
What braid do you go with? How do you find the right braid?
Well, some of the braid I'm using they don't make anymore. I used to use Toughline Supercast, which is a braided line with a mono coating on it.
Yeah,
and it would actually outthrow mono. It was insane how far you could throw it. And now, you know, we have X5, X9 Berkeley line, and it does a pretty good job. Maybe not quite as cast quite as far as the old Toughline, but, you know, some of the lines you can't throw at all. I mean, especially when you get down to that 20-pound, 30-pound test that's 10 or 8-pound diameter, it wants to jam up in your spool. And so finding the right line is a challenge. It is, because you got to be able to cast it, and you don't want to be sitting there getting out backlashes all day.
Right. Well, do you have any tips for that? Because I don't get backlashes, but other people do.
And yeah, right.
He's the dean now, you know.
Yeah.
Getting a backlash out of braid is like the most impossible thing there is.
So annoying. It is.
Is there any tricks to getting that out, or you just got to
– And jam it up. Yeah, change line.
Get a
different brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
because some of them, there's no other way. They just won't do it. They won't do it. And you get jammed up down in there. And what happens, then the next throw you throw, it goes about 10 yards and boop, stops automatically. And your bait comes back and hits you. So,
or takes the rod out of your hand.
That's when you know you ain't got the right kind of braid.
So what on that X5 and X9, how do you distinguish between the 5-strand and the 9-strand?
Well, actually, I like both of them really good. The 5-strand may be the best.
Okay.
It's a little bit bigger strands, and it seems like maybe doesn't jam up quite as much, even though the X5 doesn't jam up very much. Now, the coated line that used to be out there from Toughline, Supercast, they tell me that they're working on a new improved model. The problem, there's no problem because it's got a mono coating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like fishing mono, but there's zero stretch. Sure. I mean, there's zero stretch. And the only problem they had is the coating wants to flake off after you fish with it a while.
Gotcha.
I'm fine with it. I know what it does. I cut my line off and retie it, and I'm good. But, you know, a lot of people aren't happy with it. They think braid's supposed to last 2 years, and I change every month. So,
okay.
Regardless. But, you know, one thing is don't get too small diameter, and I think that's a lot of people's problem is you're getting 6 and 8 pound diameter, and that's just going to jam up in your spool tube.
Regardless, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, you need to really stick with about 10 pound diameter, normal diameter. That may be 30 pound test, maybe even 40 pound test.
Wow!
But it doesn't jam up in there like that.
That's so you're going real big on the braid. See, that's interesting because I would have assumed you're using 10 pound braid, but you're using 10 pound diameter.
There it is. Right, 30 pound braid, 20 pound braid, whatever it takes to be that 10 pound diameter, because that diameter helps keep it from jamming up in your spool.
And you don't care about line visibility.
No, they're not looking at your line when that crankbait comes by. That's the last thing on their mind.
They're thinking that's David Fritz's crankbait is what they're thinking.
Here's the problem. I care about it. Yeah, it messes
psychological.
It messes with my head,
me
you
too.
Know?
Oh, you get out there and catch one, you'll forget about it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way.
You know, I've seen guys do it. I know a lot of guys flip up in the northern lakes that I fish all the time. They'll flip with braid direct and 10 foot of visibility, and they'll be like, Don't worry about it.
Do you feel that way too in that situation?
I don't know. I might. I know when and believe it or not, I'm saying a cuss word here when I talk about, say, drop shot.
Okay.
But, you know, I have done that before. Not much, but two or three times.
I never heard of it.
And I use braid, and, you know, I'll tie me on a fluorocarbon leader. But, with a crankbait, a spinnerbait, anything you wind, line is not going to make a difference. The only thing that's going to make a difference is for you is right up there.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter to the fish.
Well, I hear that, and I'm going to try it. But you had to have switched your rod and your reel. Did you adjust anything when you went to braid?
Nope. I used the same David Fritz Lose cranking rod and the same BB1 I've used for years.
And you're just catching more fish. You're landing more fish.
Well, yeah. Your ratio will go up. Out of 10 fish, will go up 2 fish.
Wow.
And that's because there's no stretch. You got direct contact. With you got mono and you're throwing your way out there and one hits it, you got a little bit of stretch.
Right.
And what happens is that hook doesn't penetrate good and the fish will jump and you'll come off. And they won't do that with braid. Not that you won't never lose one, but it really helps.
Is it a true story that you despise fluorocarbon as much as you do drop shotting?
Pretty close. when it comes to crankbait, I'm not throwing fluorocarbon. Fluoro on my crankbait.
Not happening.
There's no way.
And why?
No way.
Everyone does it.
Well, and it may be the way I cast, because I like to really, you know, the way to cast far is to have speed from here to here.
Momentum.
And you're putting a lot of pressure on your rod.
Right.
You're getting really super long casts. And when I do that, that fluoro is actually stretching. And you know how fluoro is when you get it hung up with a shaky head and you break it, then the next time you break it, then it starts getting easier to break. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing's happening when I'm throwing. By lunchtime, I can break my fluoro when I make a cast. And I found that out the hard way. It cost me from winning a tournament.
No kidding.
Wow. Yes, I found that out the very, very, very hard way. So, and your bait, I guess it's possible it could get 6 inches deeper, but fluoro, if you throw one like it needs to be thrown, your line is going to severely weaken in 3 or 4 hours of fishing it.
And nobody's re-spooling during the day.
Absolutely.
No.
Nobody's retying if they don't have to.
Yep.
I mean, plain and simple.
And you know, I use Trilene 100% fluoro on all my stuff. And even it would do the same thing, but everybody else's brand would too. It didn't matter what brand, it's just fluoro.
Right.
In general.
And it's just because it gets stretched out. Once it gets stretched so far, it gets brittle. So for you guys out there listening, pay attention. I mean, if you're throwing a spinning rod or a little rod and a little crankbait, it's not going to make as much difference. But you're throwing something that you're having to put a little muscle into to wind, it's going to happen.
Interesting. Well, what about hooks?
Well, you know, I used VMC hooks forever and ever and ever, and we got that, had that Sure Set, the Scorpion, which is probably the best hook that's ever been made. And then Berkeley comes out with a hook that is called the Fusion 13, and they're not chemically sharpened. And for some reason, You know, it's sort of nice to have hooks you don't have to change during the middle of the day. You can put these dang hooks on and fish them for 3 days before you have to change them. It's unbelievable and incredible how they stay sharp. Absolutely the best hooks I've ever used.
And it's because of the sharpening process?
Yes, because of the process. And I guess the chemically sharpened, you actually weaken them a little bit.
Okay.
And when you hit a few rocks, it dulls it real quickly. Where if they're manually sharpened, you're not weakening the metal around it.
That
and they
makes
stay
sense.
Sharp. They stay sharp. It's amazing. I mean, you know, and I guess between me and VMC at one time, we made what we call the inline treble.
Yep.
And that's where all the trebles was lined up. The one on the front was facing straight down. The one on the back was faced straight up. They used to not be that way. They used to be cocked.
Okay.
Didn't matter whose treble you bought, they were cocked.
Sure.
Well, between me and VMC, Cyril over there at VMC and Jackie, we corrected that. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're called the inline treble. Now you can't hardly buy a treble and it's not inline.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, remember old Bagley's, how the one, the old pole.
They always turn. You never could get quite as deep a bite as you could when they were directly straight. And that's been probably 10 years or less ago. I mean, it hasn't been
that long
ago. Yep.
Wow. The hook is absolutely the key. Can we get these Berkeley hooks? Like, do they just come on the baits? Are they selling them aftermarket?
Well, they come on all our hard baits, and you can buy them aftermarket.
Okay.
And like I say, they're very inexpensive, very reasonable price. I can name the other brands, but they're cheaper than most of them.
Okay.
But they're just, to have a hook that will last and stay razor sharp for 3 days is impressive.
Do you know why they call it Fusion 19? Do you know why?
Because
the 19th patented invention of all time is the fish hook. It's something to do with like that.
Oh, okay.
It's the 19th patent or 19th invention that was ever first put through.
Somebody has a patent on the fish hook?
Yeah, on the fish
hook. Who's that guy?
Right.
Bill Hook.
Probably Johnny Moore. Johnny Morris.
Yeah, probably.
But look it up. It's the 19th
Bill
patent.
Hook.
Fusion 19.
But, it's amazing how little bitty things like that can make a big difference in getting your fish in. I mean, just by straightening that hook out and giving it just a fraction of a more bite, it's amazing how many, probably add one fish out of 10 to your in the box. I mean, every little
thing.
That's huge. But that low stretch line, that's going to add two fish to it. A glass rod is going to add five fish to it. So, you put all these together and you're almost perfect.
So you're getting 10 bites now and you're catching 12 fish.
Yeah.
Did I do the math right?
I swear to God,
this is the Bash University.
We're learning as we go.
It really almost is like that. It's amazing. I remember in 1985, I won a Red Man Regional, which was a truck and a boat. And if anyone would have caught the fish I'd lost, they'd beat me like a dog. I was catching five bites out of 10. And I made it a point in 1985 that I was going to figure out how to land all these fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not perfect. I don't think I ever will be perfect. But I'm willing to say that I can catch 9 out of 10 bass.
That is
that
awesome.
Bite my hook.
Yeah.
That's
a good ratio for cranking.
It is 100%. You're not afraid to try things.
Yep.
You have evolved yourself over the years. And we always stress at the Bass University that if you stop learning, you're basically screwed in bass fishing, okay? But, I mean, you've evolved it. The evolution of your crankbaits. You're a scientist. You design crankbaits, okay?
Yep.
The rods, the line. Where is it all trial and error? Is that what happens?
Well, that's the only way you can do it. You just got to go out there and fish with it. And try to figure out, what it takes to get those real light bites in the boat. I mean,
it boils down to
there's no other way to do it. You can't do it sitting there writing on paper, or you can't do it at the test tanks at Berkeley. You got to be out there in real life.
Got to be on the court.
Yep.
So where was that transition for you? And Pete and I were talking about this before we started. We all know that you kind of used to crank with mono.
Yeah.
It was your deal. And then you went out on the lake. You decided to spool up with some braid. What was it like when the light bulb went off? How long did it take that for that to happen?
You know, at the Bass Universities, that was probably the number one question asked, do I use braid to crank with? No, I didn't use braid. And the problem back then was you couldn't throw it. And you got, you know, the most important thing about fishing a crankbait is knowing what that crankbait's doing, knowing the feel. Well, the second most important thing is how far you're casting. So what does braid do? It addresses both those issues.
Okay.
It helps you feel your bait when it hits the water, along with the multi-stop reel.
Sure.
That's a big part of it.
Non-anti-reverse,
yep,
right? Yeah,
non-anti-reverse, BB1.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you want to be a better fisherman, that's a no-brainer. That will help you more than anything you can do.
Crankbait fishing.
Any kind of retrievable bait. You can feel your bait when it hits the water, not when it gets close to you.
Do you see what he's saying? Because of the non-anti-reverse. It has that little bit of slop in the handle.
Yeah,
that
allows
for more feel is what you're saying.
Yeah. You just feel
that's
it.
That's amazing.
Because you're feeling more through the reel than you are your rod. Now, when you're worm fishing or jig fishing, you're feeling with your rod. But when you're sitting there winding, you're feeling through that line coming straight to that reel through your hand.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I can feel, and you don't blame me. You guys don't blame me. Get one of your old reels out. Go to the lake. Tie one on one of your Super Duty, super fantastic Infinan reverse reel. Throw it out there. Close your eyes and wind it. And when you feel it, honestly feel the bait vibrate. Stop it and let it float up. It's going to blow you away because the bait's going to be probably within 20 to 30 yards from you at the most.
Okay.
Most of the time it's, you know, from here to the wall. It's unbelievable. And then you can take the other reel, and you throw it out there, and you open your eyes, and it's usually two or three winds.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. That's amazing.
I bought a BB one.
I never even thought about it. I'll be honest. I've been a Shimano guy forever, and I bought BB1s a few years back. And man, they're just some of the most – I never thought about it from that perspective.
Yep.
But I love them. They're consistent. They're durable. Amazing,
long casters,
amazing reels
too.
Furthest casting, longest lasting reels made. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
We just had two guys in East Tennessee. We have a little competition we call it the Lose Challenge. Had two guys in Tennessee through 92 yards, both of them, and tied a new Southeastern record. 92 yards with a 3/4 ounce weight. We ain't talking about a 1 ounce or 2 ounce weight. I'm talking about a 3/4 ounce jig head.
92
yards.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Unbelievable.
I can do that backhanded with my left hand.
Yeah.
we learned something at Bass University. But I wanted to ask you a question, and I wrote it down. And I've seen you were one of the original crankbait drillers. You would drill holes in them, let them to suspend them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the latest trend that I've heard about is guys going back to drilling holes, but they're putting vegetable oil in their baits. By looking at your face, you haven't heard about this yet either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching the mighty David Fritz right now.
The dean.
this is what's going on. I think they're drilling them. They're filling it with vegetable oil, silicone them closed, and this is allowing them further casting distance. It's letting their baits get down a little bit. It's silencing or minimizing the rattle, and it's making the bait more neutral, buoyant, by putting the vegetable oil in it.
What do you think about that?
Well, it just depends on what bait you got, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do that to a dredger. You put any weight to it, it's going to sink. They are loaded to the max.
Yeah.
And you know, we have tried everything that they are to make it go deeper, and we're there. I mean, you can't – if you put – two suspense strips on it, it'll sink.
Wow.
But yeah, that's pretty interesting. Mm. That would probably really help on some of the real high floating baits.
Right.
But you know, when I make a bait, number one thing, you got to be able to throw it. If it don't throw far, I ain't making it.
Right.
If it don't run straight, I ain't making it. If it don't catch fish, I definitely ain't making it. So it's just one of those things where you know, we've got the right combination. I can honestly say there's maybe one line of our base that has more float than others, and that would be the only one you could actually do that to. The rest of them you wouldn't be able to touch.
I got you. All right. So ignore putting oil in your baits, guys. Don't worry.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know.
It would soften the rattle. But
that's for sure.
Like I say, it's going to have to be – you know, it's going to have to be on select baits that have a tremendous amount of float, which is most other brands.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I have a loaded question for you.
All right.
I'm giving you a fair warning. When is it okay to let your cranking game go flat, David Fritz? When is it okay?
To let it go flat.
Let it go flat.
What do you mean by letting it go flat?
When, in other words, when you're bringing out the flat sides, and I got a little sneak peek of your new bait, so that's.
I figured you probably did. That's been the talk of the world.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, we're going to call them Fritz sides.
Fritz sides.
And there's three of them. We actually have four of them made. The other one's coming out, not this year, but next year. But again, a bait that you can throw. A bait that you can't pull vegetable oil in because they are balanced.
Okay.
But, you know, I helped Ed Chambers years ago make the bait that everybody called the Tap.
I sure remember.
And actually it helped me win the Classic in 93.
Yes, sir.
But that was probably the king of flat-sided crankbaits. The problem with a flat-sided crankbait is you can't cast it.
It's true.
You cannot cast it. If you get a little bitty thin flat-sided bait, it don't weigh anything. And the other thing is when you throw it, the side catches the air and you backlash terrible and you throw it 20 yards. That's what a flat-sided bait is. These you can throw 40 to 50 yards. They're super thin. They actually roll. And I'm not talking about the wiggle. I'm talking about the roll.
Yep.
From right here to right there is at least 3/4 of an inch. Come back 3/4 of an inch that way. So you can imagine this bait, these baits are actually probably the best baits I've ever made in my life.
Wow.
I mean, in all honesty.
Strong.
They will take, and I think they're even better than the old square lip B3s.
Huh. Really?
I think so.
That's strong. Than a Balsa B3?
Yep, I think so.
When, what?
If you look at them, and the way you're going to know these baits is if you look at the bottom, they're going to have two shiny spots on them.
I know. I was in Justin Lucas's boat yesterday, and I saw he had a – yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really just to show you a little bit of what that bait's about. But we have dist in them that actually is perfectly placed to make that bait cast and to make it perform like it's supposed to. So when you see these and are called, like I say, they're going to be called Fritz sides, and Lord, everybody in the world has hit me up about these because.
You got any on here or no? That we can
I haven't got one in my pocket. I got one in my truck. But, you know, once in, I thought the dredger that we have at Berkeley is probably the best, by far the best deep diving crankbait that's ever been made. But these flat sides are just, they're something else. I worked on them about a year and a half. And, you know, we don't make baits at Berkeley. If they run good, let's put them out. You know, we're thoroughly test them. And my motto is when we get it as good as we can get it, we got to get it better.
Wow.
And I can honestly say that the baits that we have right now, I could work on for 2 more years and never make them better. So the flat side, we just got lucky on. And you know, you have to say luck.
Okay.
Sometimes you make your luck. But to come out with something that will do that, nobody out there has a bait that will touch this bait. That thing is – Bobby Lane tied it on, threw it out there, and he said, that is absolutely the best crankbait I've ever had tied on the end of my line.
That's an amazing statement. And I'm confused. I'd like you to clarify, how is it similar to a Balsa B3? Is it the action, the rolling that you referred to?
Yeah,
the shape
it's the roll. It has everything that the B3 has, but more.
Okay.
It's a smaller bait, but a flat side appears to be bigger than it is. That's what makes a flat side good.
Okay.
But the thing that makes a flat side good is this right here, not that. Mm-hmm. You see us in combination with that.
Yes. Yep.
So when you get that perfect thing going on, that's when it's going to be amazing. And we have got... Man, I, like I say, I don't really know how we come up with it how we fell upon this. Probably a year and a half's work on it, believe it or not, you come across things. And when we come across this, and I saw it in their float tank, I can't talk a lot about a float tank, but we can make this bait wiggle a certain like your wine at different speeds and see what it does.
Okay.
And it just it's amazing. It has a better action than a B3.
Will it hunt also?
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, if you hit something, it hunts.
But Fritz side.
And there again, one thing that helps us is we made the baits right, the hooks right a little bit behind the bait a little bit better, so you don't get hung up quite as bad.
Okay.
But I think the performance is much better.
Amazing.
Much better. It is going to be, when these things come out this summer, and a classic.
This summer.
Yeah.
It'll be this summer they'll be available?
Yep.
ICAST or?
Yep, they'll be available at ICAST, and that's where they'll be announced. And like I say, we're talking about something that nobody knows anything about. So,
sorry, guys.
Now, do the guys have them? You said Justin Lucas has them?
Yeah, they all got some.
I didn't say that.
They all had a fit over them. And they called me yesterday, and they said we had to get some run because all we had was 3D printer baits. And they got some run, in which I have a few of them. And I've had them to retest them to make sure they were the same as a 3D printer baits. And I think Bobby Lane's the cause of it. When he told everybody it was the best crankbait he ever had tied on the end of his line, I think that did it.
Set the wheels turning, didn't it?
And then Justin Lucas comes out, and they're all going, wow, when they're winding these baits. You can't believe these baits you wind them. I mean, especially the short lip. I mean, when that thing's doing this, it is like, oh, my God.
Well, I can't wait to get a look at him. Of course, Justin Lucas is holding sixth place right now in today's Derby. So.
Well, I put on Instagram. I put on Instagram yesterday, David Fritz Fishing, that this tournament would be won on a Berkeley hard bait if the right person had it tied on.
Right.
And there's no question about it. I mean, I went out there yesterday and caught 20 some pounds, and it's been 2 days in a row. It's like, man alive. But anyway, you know, we have – I am so proud. You know, I've been with Pose, and I made a step up to Rapala, and then we come out with the DTs, which is David T. Fritz.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, they were tremendous baits. But then when we got to the dredger in the Berkeley line and discovered how to make water push that bait down, that was just the cast meow. That's the best thing that's ever been.
How deep can you get them on a cast?
Just depends on which one. I can take a 2-inch bait, which normally runs 10 foot deep, or 2.5-inch bait, and normally runs 10 foot deep. And most people, we can make it run 16.
Wow!
I can take a normal size crankbait and make it run 25 feet deep, and not break your arm, and not be that long, and not have to have a rod that big around to throw it.
Right.
It's amazing. Man. I mean, and yeah, it's not in 25 feet a long time, but it's in 22 to 24 for over half its cast.
Wow.
And that's what's impressive.
Man, that is impressive because we don't need to stroll anymore.
Yeah. It pretty much.
And we're not allowed to.
I mean, if guys can throw, and like I say, the second most important thing about crankbait fishing is making those long casts.
Right.
So whatever it takes you to purchase or to do or whatever, go out in your yard and practice. Because the further you cast, the better you're going to become.
And for the Bass University students, tell people why that long cast is so important.
Well, you know, a crankbait is actually a zone bait.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not the greatest thing when it hits the water. You got to get it down to a certain point, and a crankbait goes down. Some of them go like this, some of them do this, some of them sort of go that, and some of them do that. So it just depends on what kind of bait it is. You know, most of our baits go down very rapidly,
mm-hmm.
more rapid than most crankbaits. And once it gets down to a certain point, then it starts inching downward. And the faster it can get there, the wider your field is, the wider your zone is. It's like I'm covering 2 times the water.
Right.
And, you know, if you're making a 30-yard cast, you know, you're probably only covering 10 yards of water. I mean, to be honest, but when you're making, I know the 25.5, I can throw it almost 70. I can throw it 65. So
wow.
I've got 50 yards that I'm winding this thing where it's in the zone.
In the zone.
And you know, mm-hmm. if you're out there and you're only throwing 50 yards, then you're 30 feet. So, yep.
Wow. Well,
he's a little serious about this.
Well,
isn't he?
Clearly, and that's why we're talking about it. It's a highly technical crankbait conversation, as we always have with you. And distance is key. I mean, you got to get in order to get those baits down to the maximum running depth. You got to make a long cast. But if you can get it down there quicker, now you're in the strike zone longer.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to be able to cast such a long distance.
Absolutely. It's the second most important thing. The most important is feeling your bait. Yep. By far, it's the most important. You'll catch when you're feeling your bait like a jig or a worm, and you can actually feel a fish touch your bait or come up, and the water be different around your bait. Yep. Then that's when you become a truly good crankbait fisherman.
Yep.
And to do that, you gotta definitely have the right equipment. That's a reel that does not have infinite reverse.
There's no infinite reverse. Throw away your mono, crank with braid. Keep your rod.
Low-stretch mono's good. There's nothing wrong with mono. Use something like Sensation or use a real low-stretch, and you're good. It's just that much less than braid.
Wow. Well, hey, we've all learned a lot.
Absolutely. And mind blown, I told you.
Mind blown. And we're going to be seeing some crankbait events, I hope, this year. You got any crankbait events? Because it's probably going to be a spawn tournament. At Hartwell, maybe.
Yeah, probably. It'll be close. I hope we're praying that it's going to come a snowstorm and a blizzard for 2 weeks.
Keep it pre-spawn.
Okay. Yeah. So actually, the next two is probably going to be that way. But then we sort of hit post-spawn maybe in Texas. So we're going to have a chance.
Look out.
You're always dangerous when you're in the Derby, and I appreciate you being here with us.
Yep, I enjoy it. Always good to be with you guys. And you know, I always enjoyed being out talking to people and helping them learn and telling them stuff that helps them. Mm. And that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people talk, but not a lot of people talk and tell people what will actually help them.
That's exactly what we do at Bass University.
Yeah, perfect.
And with all the new stuff that you have out, we got to get you back at Bass University next year and teach our guys out in the classroom.
Yeah.
But look forward to that. Thanks very much for being here with us.
Dave.
The great David Fritz.
Right there.
Classic champ, won everything, Bass University TV.
Mind blown.